And welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, the Owly Sleep Sack is finished, cast on the Owly Sleep Sack, a jumper called Brick, headgear called Showcase, and Counting Rows. Hello and welcome to episode 64. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Here we are again so soon. I seem to be doing quite well with partly with the knitting. There's a lot going on with knitting at the moment, which gives me more to say, but I'm also doing quite well finding those sneaky half hours to nip out while everyone else is busy. It's Good Friday today. My husband, as is traditional, is farting around with the car. My 16-year-old is still asleep. It's about lunchtime. And my son's had a busy morning helping me, and he's now earned himself some Minecraft time. So I hope I'm undisturbed for a little while. If you've been listening for a few weeks, you'll know that my family has suddenly burst into flower and we have a number of babies on the way. After a bit of trial and error, I think is the polite phrase, I've settled on the Owly Sleep Sack and I've finished one. I took it with me to Knit and Natter on Wednesday morning in a spirit of show and tell. As I predicted, I'm not entirely happy with the hat. I will give it with the sack because they make a very obvious pair, especially as in the end I did do the hat in the block stripes rather than just in the merlot. But when I get to that stage with the second one, which I'm knitting for another cousin, I'm going to come up with a different, I'll use a different hat pattern, but I'm not there yet. Ironically though, on the hat, I think the owls are much more obvious than on the sack, but she does say in the pattern for the sack, block, 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 and I think I need telling three times, to be honest. And now that I have waded through an embarrassingly enormous ironing pile, I can now use my ironing board for blocking, so I should probably get that done today because I think it's against the law to do any ironing over Easter, so that's got time to dry. I think I probably will wet block on this occasion. I don't always, but as it's 100% cotton that I've used, or as near as, then I'm happy to wet it and make sure it dries. That's my only fear. Our house isn't always the best for things drying, and I would just get slightly nervous. It might get a wee bit musty before it dries. But we're forecast some cold weather, so we might have the heating on more, so I should be able to get it sorted out. So that's all done and dusted. I might do a pattern review, I'm not sure, but even if I do, I'm going to do it after I've knitted the second one. The second one I'm approaching completely differently. Just briefly, if you haven't listened before or you missed the fascinating rundown of why I chose my yarns, although I have to say this is partly what this podcast is about. It's about those choices that you make based on things you want to take into consideration. So I chose the King Cole Big Value Recycled Cotton Aran because it can be washed and tumbled, and when you have a small baby, I think you need things to be easy. It's difficult enough without bringing in extra layers of clothing or baby items that need fussy washing and drying. And the pattern I was going to use originally had a repeating stripe for which you needed three colours. Because I chose not to do that in the end, I still had to use the same yarn, so I chose to do three colour blocks. And it actually works out quite well, particularly on the hat, because you've got your initial block from your cast on edge where you have your cable pattern, and then you have your kind of middle ordinary section where you're just knitting, 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 and then you have your decrease round. So it actually splits quite well into three, but it's not what I would have chosen had I known from the off that I was going to do that pattern. But when it comes to the second Owly Sleep Sack, I am in that position of choosing the yarn knowing that's the pattern I'm going to use. So I chose Cookies and Cream, I think it's called, yarn in a wonderful set of summery colours. Sorry, my mistake, Sugar and Cream, not Cookies and Cream. and I chose it. It's by Lily. I chose it in a lovely combination of cream and a reddish colour and a yellow. And to me, it's just cheerful and it's summery colours for a baby that's due in August. And I'm loving the way it's turning out. It's a very, very much of a mix of colours. All the colours are there in every stitch. And I love the way it's turning out, actually. I was a little unsure. It was a bit of a gamble. And I must admit, I can be quite impulsive about buying yarn. I think the two things go together, especially as I'm usually on a bit of a budget. But I just saw that. It was exactly what I'd had in mind. I'd had a sort of twisted red in particular, red and white in mind. And when I saw that, I thought, yes, absolutely the answer to my prayers. And they had something daft, like exactly the amount left in stock that I needed, so I thought, yes, it's meant to be. So I'm really enjoying knitting with that. It's a nice yarn in itself. I get the impression that it's maybe discontinued or something, given that there's not that much of it around, but I really like it and it's just the right thing for this. So you do three sets of cables to make the little owly pattern. The first set are sort of like the eyebrows that some owls have, I think. And the second set is as if you've got the wings tucked around. And I think the third set is just to form the base of the owl. And they're coming out really well. So I've done the first two and I've just got a few rounds left to go until I do the final one. I do find cabling can be quite a feat of dexterity and finger muscles. I don't particularly enjoy that, not because I've got any issues with the nuts and bolts of cabling, but just because I find it's just actually quite hard on my hands, especially as I'm using short tips for this, which I was saying last week. I think short tips aggravate the pain that I get in my hands. But anyway, I've only had to tink two rows, so that was that's a bit of a bonus. I realised after the first cable round that on my final cable set, however you want to call it, the final part of the final part, I had done my cable in the wrong direction. All the cabling I've done, and I've had to do the hat three times, and I've done all the cable rounds on each occasion, and I have never yet done a cable in the wrong direction, but I did this time. I didn't realise until I had gone two rounds further on, which is only about 160 stitches, it's not too serious, but I remembered that when I had been looking the other day for some information on designing and fitting, which I will talk about today if there's time, I had noticed in my Debbie Bliss book, Knitter's Knowledge, there was a section, as you'd expect, on correcting mistakes, and one of them was how to correct a cable that you'd taken in the wrong direction. So I thought, oh, you know, I'm tinking back two rounds on a smallish garment, it's not too disastrous, but just out of interest, I thought, I'll just see what this is all about. And when I saw there was something about cutting, I swiftly decided I'd rather tink. She said that the first part was to cut the centre stitch of your cable. Now, most cables involve an even number of stitches, so I don't work out how you find a centre stitch. Clearly that's my mistake, but I just can't see that, or my deficiency. And then it was about restoring live stitches. I just thought, no, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm not happy. I don't want to start cutting things. I'll just tink. So that's what I did. Corrected the cable, fine. I could at some wee mistakes I might choose to turn a blind eye to if I feel they're not too noticeable, especially on quite a busy yarn. I think it's more forgiving. But that, no, that would have just bugged me from the beginning. So I went back, sorted that out, carried on. So that's fine. That's my happy project, if you like. I'm now just in the beginning of a section of about eight, just a pretty standard knitting even rounds. So that's nice. I can do that. I can pick that up and put it down without wondering where I was. However, something that this project has made me think about, and it sounds unbelievably basic for knitting, is counting your rows. When I'm doing a pattern where row count is not necessarily obvious, I use an app on my phone called Knitting Row Counter, which is exactly what it sounds like. I like it because it's not one of these that's absolutely dripping with features, of which you're only ever likely to use two. It's a very simple thing. It does include a repeat feature. So if every six rounds constitutes a repeat and you have to do three repeats, you can tell it that a repeat is six rounds and you want to be told when you've done three. But other than that, it's just a stitch counter and you set it up per project. So I like it. I find it extremely simple. It has a little feature that also allows you to keep your screen on while you're doing it. So I find that really works for me. There are times when I'll use it a lot for a few weeks, then I don't use it for 6 months. But it's a very faithful app. I like it and I recommend it. I use an Android phone. That's available through the Google Play Store. The first part of the Owly Sleep Sack says stocking stitch for 16 rounds. And I had just cast on, joined to knit in the round, of which more later, and simply started knitting. And I wasn't thinking too much about it. I had just wanted to get on with it. I knew I had to just do a load of stocking stitch. I wasn't paying too much attention. And then I thought, oh, well, I'd actually better have a look at how many rounds I've done. I don't want to find I've suddenly done 23, because I'm quite good at that. So I started counting. And I thought, oh, do I count the stitches on my needle? And I've wondered about this before, but it's never been that critical. And I was saying to myself, well, yes, of course I do, because this. And then I'd think, well, no, of course I don't, because that. I couldn't decide. So in the end, I decided to go and look it up. And unsurprisingly, as with so much in knitting, the answer's not entirely clear-cut. There were a few sites that I looked at before I found one that really gave me a clear answer, and it's a Blogspot site called Tech Knitting. And it's got this wonderful title, How Do I Count the Rows? Do I include the cast on row and the stitches on the needles? And interestingly, she says a two-part question gets a three-part answer. It depends on the cast on, and that is quite a consideration, because with some cast-ons, the first row that occurs as you go along doing your casting on, you're effectively doing your first row of knitting. Others, it doesn't work like that. So the first point is, depends on your cast-on. The second point is that you need to be consistent. So if you're knitting an item that's made up in parts, say a jumper, you knit a front, you knit a back, you knit your sleeves. If you don't count your cast on row on the first item, the first part, say you knit the back off and first, don't you? Then don't count it on any of the other parts, for instance. So that's something to bear in mind. But that wasn't really my main question. My main question was, do I count the stitches on the needle? And the answer is yes. And I'll just quickly read you the sentence here. You do count the loops on the needle because they are stitches which have already been knit. Well, there you go. I mean, that's, we think about it and it's blindingly obvious. So there we go. I've learned something. And it's one of those silly things which has often sort of crossed my mind, but it's never been critically important. But I really wanted to get it right on this occasion. It mattered to me. So that was fine. I knew where I was, and that's been a very useful little nugget. Something I've noticed with this project, it's a completely different yarn from what I used last time, and the little rolled edge of the stocking stitch at the top is much neater, much more satisfying. The rolled edge on the recycled cotton aran is a bit more bulky. I don't like it so much, but it's not the end of the world. I'm hoping that once I've blocked, the first one that I've knit in the recycled cotton aran will just sort of neaten itself up a wee bit. The actual knitting I'm happy with, it's regular, I'm not worried about the tension or anything like that. There are no big bloopers, although I have a mental block about colour jog. Next time I knit anything with stripes, I think I'm going to get a tattoo on my left forefinger that says colour jog, so I can't forget. Which reminds me, I did see a picture a couple of years ago now of a knitter who had dots tattooed onto the outside of her forefinger that were an inch apart. I think that's really neat. My daughter has had a birthday recently, and she's very into skincare and cosmetics and all the loads of skincare that goes in after you've removed the cosmetics. And I said to her as I was watching her doing something, I said, oh, you need one of those sort of turban things that keeps the hair off your face. And I could knit you something. She went, oh, that'd be really good, actually. I thought, oh, okay, well, great. So I went looking and I found a pattern called Showcase. And I'm not entirely sure exactly what the name is of the person who designed it, because it's a little ambiguous, but it's, she presents her name as Adriana, and then in double quotes, Kaaktus, K-A-A-K-T-U-S. So there you go. You know as much as I do now. And she has designed a very simple sort of headband thing. It's broad across the top of the head, and then it has a narrow band that goes effectively sort of ear to ear on the back of the head, and the shaping is done by wrap and turn. Now, I'm very familiar with short rows because that's how I do my sock heels, but I haven't used short rows in anything else. And the thing, what's neat about this is it means that you have small edges, but it expands nicely over the crown of the head to give you good coverage to keep hair back and out the way. But this specifically used wrap and turn, which is not something I've done before. I've done a sort of much simpler, I think, short row on a sock heel. So I had to look this up. And I'm glad I did. And I know I got it wrong a bit at the beginning, you know, but it doesn't really matter because it's just on a thing like that, that she's not even going to see it when she's got it on by definition. And the effect was correct of creating the broader middle. I know that sometimes when I wrapped the yarn, I then slipped the wrong stitch onto the needle. I slipped a stitch from the right one back to the left one rather than the left one onto the right one. Silly things like that, but I kept checking with the video and eventually I got the hang of it. If I was to come across it in a pattern again though, I would go and refresh my memory because I had to do it on both the knit and the purl side. But it's a really quick and easy little knit. It's a great stash buster. In theory, you could make it in any gauge of yarn, but it's written for a 4-ply. I have some 4-ply that I bought rather horrifyingly in 2012. And that's just over 7 years ago. That's incredible. It surprises me that I've been at this so long. I bought a load of mercerised cotton from Knit Shop Co. UK. It's a bricks and mortar shop, I think, based in London that also does mail order. And the reason I bought it is I was expecting to be making baby bibs from it for a friend of mine who was expecting twins. And I don't quite know what they do to mercerised cotton. I don't know what the mercerisation process is. But the consequence of it is that a yarn, fabric, whatever, is more resistant to wetness. And I thought it was ideal for a baby bib. And of course, when you're using, we're doing makeup, you're doing cleansing and moisturising, you're splashing around, especially if you're my daughter, you're splashing stuff around, and she'll no doubt brush the edge of this showcase, it's called, this band with wet cotton wool and a wet flannel and all this sort of stuff, and the mercerised cotton will cheerfully put up with that. Well, I don't know if she's actually going to end up using it much, but she's unbelievably untidy. I mean, I don't think she'd be able to put her hands on it just now. She'd have to mine through several inches worth of stuff on her bedroom floor, especially as she's had a birthday and there's stuff around. But it was great from my point of view to use up that stash now. I haven't got any of the green left. I don't think I've got any of the other colours left either. And then I used up a tiny little bit of a similar colour that's not mercerised, but it doesn't matter because this was for the back headband. I used a bit of a yarn I have no recollection of ever having used. I certainly didn't buy it. I think it's one of those odds and ends I've been given. But it's a really handy little pattern. If you made it without wrap and turn glitches, it would make a nice little present. You could even make two or three so that you can have one on and one in the wash and that sort of thing. I would certainly be very happy to create another one for her. You use a 3-needle bind off to make a seamless seam around the back, and it's just a nice little item. So I would recommend that if you're looking for something along those lines. One thing you just have to be careful of as you're making it, and I'm going somewhere with this, is that the band is the right length. So if you make it too big, it's going to fall off. If you make it too tight, it's going to give you a headache. Might even not be able to get it on. So I had to fit it on my daughter. And so I got her, she had her hair up anyway, so I was pulling it around her head and this and that. And I put it on the table and she suddenly said, "Can I do some knitting?" Da, 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 da. I said, "Yes," you know, trying not to look too excited. "Yes, yes, of course." And she said something so interesting, and it's so true. She said, "It just looks so satisfying." I thought, well, yes, it really is. That's definitely a word I'd use. And I think that's quite interesting in connection with what I was talking about last week about this creativity survey the BBC's doing and how it had made me think about the feelings that knitting engenders in me. So I sort of wanted to say, what size needles would you use and what weight of yarn, you know, but in the end I said, do you feel like using little needles or big needles? And she said, something in the middle, which is a classic answer from her. So I got her going with some 4mm needles I've got. They're designed for children. I mean, she's 16, but they're designed for children because they're normal needles. They're not circular needles. They are short. They're probably about 8-9 inches, something like that, and on the top, where an ordinary needle would just have a sort of flat top or a knobble telling you the size of the needle, it has a little cat's head, which she quite liked, and one is orange and one is blue. And I think this is so that you can say to children, do this with the orange needle, now the blue needle, rather than left right, because children are notoriously hopeless about left and right. So she liked those. So, and I used just some old blue Aran that I really, you know, don't care less about, even though I've got lakes of it. So she started going with that, and then we got talking about that she'd like a jumper. She did mention it to me a little while ago, but it went quiet, and then she raised it again. So I forced myself to go looking on Ravelry with her, and for her jumpers, she likes something relatively plain. She's very slim and feels that a round neck flatters her more than a V-neck. So we were looking for fairly straightforward, not very fancy, round neck jumpers, and we came across, or she decided, that she wanted one called Brick, and this is by a designer called, oh, I've suddenly lost the designer, Claire Lee, there we go. So that's a free Ravelry download, and it's designed for a worsted or an Aran. And we went looking. My daughter was initially saying that she was happy with wool, but because I don't get on with wool, I've never clothed either of my children in wool. And while I have no issue whatsoever with her wearing it, what I didn't want to do was buy a large quantity, well, large to fit her, haha, buy a quantity of woolen yarn that then drove her absolutely mad. Although I can't wear wool, bizarrely, I don't mind too much knitting with it, and I can't explain that. So I sort of convinced her in the end to go for cotton, but it was the colour that actually attracted her, and that happened to be a cotton. She has decided to go for the, again, King Cole Big Value Recycled Cotton Aran in Crocus, which is the lighter of the two purpley shades that I used on the first Owly sleep sack. So we've gone through Wool Warehouse again, and we've ordered a quantity of that, which is on its way. I doubt it will arrive before Easter. I think that would be asking a bit much. So we're going to be making that in a medium. The size jump between small and medium is quite big. It goes from a 32-inch bust to a 37. My daughter, of course, is sort of 33 or something silly, but she's decided she'd rather it was baggier. And when I think about the jumpers she's got that she wears, they're not long baggy, like, you know, in the 80s I wore my dad's jumpers that reached my knees. So she doesn't like them long baggy, but so they're shortish, but she likes them baggier in the body. That's just, I suppose that's just the fashion. So next thing we did was we sort of worked out all her measurements, and they tell you how much yarn you need for each. So we were sort of doing all that. I was doing it a little bit more by the book than I might normally, because I wanted to give her just an idea of what you do. And then we went and looked for the yarn. So I've got a large quantity of Crocus cotton Aran arriving, and then the jumper looks extremely simple, I would expect, all being well, especially as it's holiday time now as well, they've broken up for Easter, I would expect to get that knocked out in the next, once the yarn arrives, 3 weeks at the absolute most, but you know, it'll probably have some little feature in it that I just can't get my head around. So stand by to hear more about that as time goes on. So far, she knitted about half a row because we got completely carried away looking at patterns, discussing design features, looking at yarns, you know, and she understood all about dye lots and all that sort of thing. So that was all great. Then it was supper time, and so her half row never got any further. But believe it or not, about 5 minutes ago, she just walked in and picked up her knitting off the windowsill in my office. So clearly, I've spawned something. So it's really satisfying. I'd love it. She's got her GCSEs coming up. It's quite stressful. And I would really love it if she found that she got a little bit of mental respite from, you know, putting in half an hour of knitting here or there. And I was saying, sort of, what sort of thing do you want to make? Sorry, brief interruption there, because she came in wondering why she had a funny loop of yarn. This is amazing! But it just sort of bears out what I was just going to say, which is thinking about what you want to make. And obviously, you know, she's not going to go from nothing to knitting some phenomenally complex piece of lacework or something. But I know that when I started knitting properly, I didn't want to knit endless 40-stitch-wide scarves. I actually wanted to make a thing. I wanted to have a purpose to it. And she's quite like me in that respect. I thought she might want to. But I think initially, she's just wanting to sort of get the hang of the get it to the simple, straightforward act of knitting is fairly second nature. And I'm really glad that she came in just now to say, what have I done? What's gone wrong? You know, that's really encouraging that she might actually, you know, want to learn how to do this daft thing properly. I mentioned earlier on that I had something to say about joining to knit in the round. I have lots to say about joining to knit in the round. It's something that I've done very badly in the past, and so for quite a long time now I've just knitted flat for the first few rounds, and then once it's much more obvious to see whether or not your work is twisted, I have from that point onwards joined and gone on, and then fine. Some projects that doesn't work so well, so I've just decided to look join to knit in the round in the eye and get the better of it. So when I had to cast on several times for the little hat because I got that wrong, and then casting on for, well, as in I didn't get the casting on wrong, I made mistakes further on with the hat, so I had to restart. In the end I started it three times, and now of course I've cast on for this new Owly sleep sack. So that's four times I've cast on a round project and just decided I'm bloody well going to get it right and not twist it, and I'm really pleased to say that that's worked out every time. So I sort of feel like I've maybe laid a demon to rest a bit on that. You do have to pay attention, you do have to be careful. Even when you're sure you've got it right, you can still scare yourself by thinking, it doesn't look right. But I'm really pleased with that. One of the things I find so satisfying about knitting in this stage of knitting is it's such a journey of learning how to do things and giving yourself maybe every now and again a wee pat on the back and saying, yeah, actually, you sort of did that and it was more or less okay. So that's always very satisfying. Until this jumper came up to do, I had planned to start making myself a sort of bra top arrangement for the summer, and I had an idea of what I was going to do, and it's been sitting in my mind and it's been germinating? I don't know if that's quite the right word. It's been evolving anyway, because I've been thinking about how best to do things, what are the things that I might need to incorporate in order to get a half reasonable fit. I should stress, this is to be worn under my clothing. This is not a bikini top for prancing around in public. So I'm sure that the idea I first came up with, I've already changed quite a significant aspect of it already. And I'm sure as time goes on, that will continue, odds and ends will continue to change in the name of just being a reasonable fit and providing a little bit of support, just to stop things waving around quite so much, you know. And I was going to do it in cotton aran. Cotton because in the summer you get warm in that part of the world and you can wash them easily. So I'm hoping that I've got enough scraps of cotton aran, and it doesn't matter if this is kind of every colour of the rainbow, as it's going to be under my clothes. There's a lot to think about in terms of designs. Do I want to make a fixed halter neck, such as you would seam off with a three-needle bind-off? Do I want to do ties? Probably not. I get a bit bored of that sort of thing. But would I want to do ties to tie behind my neck? Or do I actually want to knit a fixed strap that goes over your shoulder like a normal bra? Or do I even conceivably want to do a strap that has a buttonhole in it and put a button on the back? Although if that's on your shoulder blade, you know, I drive a lot, that could be a bit uncomfy. But I've got all sorts of things like this to think about, so I'm quite looking forward to doing that. Obviously now that's going to be a few weeks further away, but I'd be amazed if come the end of it it's something that anybody else would want to make, but you never know. And I should just say, I think last time I was talking about this sort of chainmail helmet for my son, turned out really well. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see I put a couple of pictures on that. I don't know if I put it on Twitter. I'll try to remedy that oversight if I did. He really liked it. My mum, who was running the session, she really liked it. I've learned one or two things you do and don't do which I can bear in mind for next time. But I think you'd have to be a real masochist to wear a balaclava. Even though it's not that warm in Britain, it's the end of March, I just think it's getting to the stage where we'll put that one on the back burner. And if I need a summer project, I could always do his hauberk. But then with my experience, I think, was it last summer? Was it about this time last year? I should look at my project page on Ravelry, that'll tell me. When I was knitting the very large green jumper for my husband, which is just endless miles of rib. Yes, it was August. Well, I finished it in August last year. I started it in about May, and I just got so utterly mind-bendingly bored that I sort of gave up with the whole thing. So maybe I should think twice about having a heavy summer project. So we'll see, we'll play that one by ear, but I'd quite like to make him one just so that he's got the complete set. Well, clearly I'm needed in the other room to go and sort out my daughter's knitting queries, so I must dash. It's been lovely to talk to you, and I hope to be back soon. Bye.